Hi.
Hi.
So my name's Elisa. I work for the network. Lisa is not going to be able to make it
Yes,
today.
we got the call. I'm Jamie. I'm one of the co-chairs, and I
Oh,
just
great.
met with Stacy, and she's trying to log on. So we will take over when she gets on in.
Okay, are you going to need me to be on the call, do you think?
No, you already got it recorded. I think we're okay.
You might as well go.
So,
Yeah.
Jamie,
Yes.
are you familiar enough with Zoom to have me reassign you as host?
Just me the people.
Can you co-host with me
Well,
and Stacy?
yeah, then I'll just stay on. That's fine.
This
No,
is
I'm saying, can
easy.
you put Stacy and I as co-host?
Oh. Okay, well, I'm going to do it on my computer.
Elisa?
I don't see Stacy here. Hold on one second. I'm just going to mute everybody because people are coming in like ridiculously fast. So
You
just
know,
give me a second.
I'm getting those too, so I'm able to admit people too.
Right. Okay. So I just made you the co-host, and now that Stacy is just coming on, I can make her a co-host as well.
Okay, great.
And then the two of you can manage your group, and I'll just keep it on in the background. I have to find her. Where is she? Here you are. So, they're coming in so fast, I keep losing her. Where is she? Stacy. Okay. Okay, so I made you, Jamie, Stacy, co-hosts.
Stacy. Hi, Stacy.
I would suggest, I mean, you guys know how to run your group. I'm gonna be on it just listening. Like, give me a shout out if you need something from me. Otherwise, I'm here, but I'm not here. I'm not really listening.
Okay, I just saw someone wanted to be admitted and then it disappeared.
I admitted them, Stacy. Sorry guys, we're new to hosting. I'll watch that if you want to kick everybody off, okay, Stacy?
Sure. Okay.
So the one thing I want to say about just admitting everybody is if you don't recognize somebody's name, we shouldn't have a problem with this Zoom bombing. But if Jamie, you're going to take second chair, then just know that on the bottom now you have a security icon. Do you see the security icon on
Yeah.
the toolbar of your screen, Jamie? Okay, so if you click on that, you can automatically remove someone in case you let someone in who shouldn't be there.
Okay.
You can just do that. And it is recording, so we should be fine to tell Lisa.
Okay. Although the only thing I'll say, Lisa, is we don't know everybody, so I'm just assuming that this is a secure meeting and we won't be Zoom bombed, but I think we should just let everyone in
Right.
because.
I'm just saying if an incident occurs while you're in your meeting, you can quickly remove someone.
Yes.
Instead of having to scroll through and find the offending person, just go to the security. It says remove participant and do it that way. It kicks them right out. And it also will keep keep record of it so we can tell Zoom. All right.
Okay.
Have a great meeting.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, hello everybody and welcome. I am Stacy Spencer, one of the co-chairs of this NJHSA Affinity Group, and I am the program manager at Jewish Family Children's Service of Minneapolis. And Jamie, would you like to introduce yourself as my other co-chair?
Yes, hi, I'm Jamie Weiner. I'm Stacy's co-chair, and I am the manager of disability services of JFS Houston. So welcome. Thank you for spending your time with us in Zoom land for the next hour.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to a really nice interactive conversation today as we are all adjusting personally to our new normal, professionally to our new normal. So, really want to see today, how are you faring during this pandemic? What are the challenges and opportunities which have presented themselves so far as we're in into what are a little bit over 1 month, I guess, maybe depending on what state you're in on when you went into quarantine, but what has been some challenges and what has been some successes? Because I do think there's been some silver linings that are coming of this, of how we are interacting with participants. Who'd like to start?
Hi, my name is Lillian Gibson. I'm from Jewish Family Career Services. I'm the senior program manager working with the developmental disability population. Hope everyone is doing well. Some of the struggles that we've been having is just the individual feeling a sense of losing, like not being able to communicate with family, go home on the weekends, and just spending more time in the mental health arena, really taking that time to communicate with them and find ways of trying to de-escalate their emotions at that time, because they're just at home all the time and not able to spend time with family or friends. So we're finding ourselves spending a lot more time doing some counseling.
And how's that working?
It's been working. We've been reaching out to family members and just kind of letting them know what we've been experiencing and if they can make themselves available sometimes to just do some FaceTiming with the families if possible, if they can do FaceTiming, and also maybe just a little bit more communication on their part with maybe some other family members. So it's been working, but for the staff, it's different. It's different with them.
Is your agency able to provide support or guidance either by financial assistance or helping you in case you have a really tough case that you're unsure of how to work with and stuff? How does your agency play a role in this?
Okay, we do have a counseling department. If we do need them, we can definitely reach out and get one of the counselors to probably either train the staff or, you know, give us some advice on how to handle it. Like I said, I just recently started seeing this in the past week.
Okay.
So, but it will be something that I will consider now that you've mentioned that part of it, if it continues to, you know, escalate for some apparent reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good to go to our agency. I mean, I think we're learning that, you know, there's a lot of questions that can be answered by just us reaching out, I think. Great. Thank you, Lillian.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer.
Thanks a lot. Who else?
Hi, Ms. Spencer.
Hi. Who's talking?
My name is Thomas Salzer, and I work for JVS. I'm the Vocational Rehabilitation Coordinator for this great agency that allows me to work with veterans with high barriers.
Excuse me, what city?
Los Angeles, California, ma'am.
Los Angeles, thank you.
So I've actually found this situation to be something we could build on. So this allowed me to ask for my company to give every one of my veterans a webcam.
Wow.
So we're still holding meetings. They just have to be less than three people. We have to have social distances and everything. So it allowed me to connect their webcams if they had a camera, or show them how to use their phone to connect to Zoom, because my company bought a Zoom account. And I do have a few veterans. I have two veterans, actually, that are agoraphobes, which means that they don't like to go out. They don't like to talk to people. So I've been able to reach them better because we have a standing meeting every Monday. I have the first one at 10 a.m. and the next one at 1 p.m. And I've been keeping in touch with them with Zoom. So it allowed me to use company funds to buy webcams so I can keep in touch with all my participants. I have a schedule on who I call and when. And it excited me because what's happening is that it's becoming a routine for them to talk to me. So sometimes when I tell them, hey, come to my center, come, we have to do this workshop, we have to go through this training, we have to go do this event together, they give me an excuse, or they say I can't come, or I have transportation issues. And I try to fix those excuses because my organization, you know, gives transportation reimbursements and tap cards and everything. But still, getting the veteran out, sometimes it's difficult. So having these conversations with Zoom, I think is allowing me to keep my rapport with them, build a better rapport with them, and keep them on schedule with a routine. And I really like that. I know it's not a, it's a weird time to be positive about things, but I think that this was an incredible step, and I think I'm going to keep it in my rapport, in my toolbox, even after we're done with this. Wonderful. I'm going to keep calling them. I'm going to keep Zoom. I'm going to keep watching them on Zoom, because it also made one of my veterans clean his room. So it was great. So I think this was a good growing experience for us, because I never thought about doing this otherwise.
Wonderful. Well, I think it is not a bad thing to find a silver lining in the middle of this. I mean, I think that's great. Have you had any problem? I've heard this with talking with colleagues of people who might be challenged as far as being able to figure out Zoom or other ways. Has that been challenging to kind of do that? Like, don't you just want to like go over and say, do this, but you can't. Yes. You have to do it virtually.
Yes. So I've actually learned how to do Zoom classes because of this. So I've put together slideshows and things like that, but we're still seeing individuals. So I actually set up most of their webcams and put the link on their laptop. So
good. And is it Edina? I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. How do I say your name?
It's Edina.
Thank you, Edina. What would you have to say about that?
I was going to say, it's Edina from Montreal. I was going to say, actually, on the subject of Zoom, that we just today launched a one-on-one Zoom coaching session with our clients. So that's also something.
Great. And how's that going?
You know, I can't say for sure. So what we do, it just really is launching today.
Yep.
It was hot off the presses, so I can't really tell you yet. Okay. But the first step, basically, in the email that we will send to clients, it comes with a video about how to set up your account. And then really, the one-on-one coaching is really geared actually to interview skills, because I work in employment. I work personally in disability employment, but I have other colleagues in other departments in employment. And so we're teaching people, you know, how to present your best self in a Zoom interview and that kind of thing.
Nice. As long as I have you, so tell me more what you're doing with like employment services for people with disabilities in this time. What's that look like?
So it's been pretty challenging. Most of our clients actually, unfortunately, have been laid off. So there's been a lot of help, helping. There's been a lot of service provided, helping people apply for benefits here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been a huge thing for us. Just in general, though, what our agency has been doing is we started to offer. We have also a counseling department, so there are 4 free counseling sessions being offered to clients that qualify. I'll just talk in general what our agency has been doing. Mm-hmm. Also, one of the most important things that we've set up from almost day one is a helpline. So providing emergency services for people who are shut in, can't get groceries, people who are isolated, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what else. Oh, back in terms of on the job search front, we also created a new webinar that we also just launched this morning. It's been a busy day.
Oh, good.
The ABCs of job search and basically in this new normal. So I'm just waiting on feedback as to how that went. Mm-hmm. And we've had to lay off not a huge amount of staff, but especially in our field, we had a job coach we had to lay off, obviously, any kind of, you know, in-person employees, right? We're not doing job coaching right now.
Okay.
Are you guys still doing job coaching? Anybody there still? No.
Yes.
Yes, you are doing job coaching?
Yes. So
we are.
So thankfully, some of the jobs that I got for my individuals, my agoraphobic veteran, we do job carving here. You guys know what job carving is, right?
Yes.
So when you say I do not.
No.
So what we do is we actually, once the veteran gets his position, we will actually sit there with him, and we will go through a few days of the job with him, show him best methods. We will talk to the employer, make sure the employer knows, hey, these are the ADA situation that this veteran needs these items. So if we can't get the item, we'll, JVS will normally pay for the item. So if they need a special keyboard or chair or something, we will pay for it. If it's a little bit too much, we'll ask the employer to do it, or we'll come in half and half. So we will sit there for a few days and do the job coaching with them on how to approach the job. And then after that, we will let him do it on his own. And we ask the employer, or we ask the veteran, to give us a small snippet of how they think they did. And we are still doing it with a few of our employees. Thankfully, some of my employees are in the nonprofit field where they get grants, and they were under the grant, so they're safe. I do have my agoraphobic veteran, which he's still working on a IT line with Dell computers, like support. So we still talk to them. We still lead them through it. He has a lot of anxiety issues, so like we still coach him through it. But it's not enough, and it's not as much as we used to. Like that, I can say. We do have a few vets that were laid off, and we're becoming more of an EDD specialist because we're showing them how to get into unemployment and all that stuff. But yeah, we're still helping. We're still there.
Nice.
Thankfully, we're blessed.
We're still providing job coaching. It's very limited. It's for our individuals. Sorry, I'm Jamie Lebo with JCS in Baltimore, and I work in the employment disability arena also. And Adina, you asked about job coaching. So we had few of our DDA clients who were receiving one-on-one coaching, and they were all in retail and grocery stores. Now we only have one who's still working. The others have been laid off, or they have left on their own because of their own concern and family concern. We did just get a new case from Doors, so it's not a DDA client, but we will coach on site. We have two permanent coaches. Our other job coaches are not working, but we've tried to have those two job coaches find work within our agency. So we've helped them. They're working in our, we have assisted living units. So they're working in our assisted living units, and we've been taking food cards and food grocery bags to other clients within our community. So they're doing some of that work as well.
That is excellent.
Hi, this is Laura. You guys make me jealous. I'm in New York, so that's like a completely different story. We cannot open our facilities as of yet. We hope that we will be open at least for to some extent starting May 15th.
Excuse me, Laura, what agency?
It's Kings Bay Y in Brooklyn. So we basically work remotely. We try to call our clients. We try to be in touch with them. We didn't have a chance to install webcams or whatever. So we have a group of deaf and hard of hearing, pretty big group, like about 70 seniors who were left without our services.
Wow.
On one day notice. So basically our staff is luckily equipped with the video phones. So they are reaching out and they talk to them on a daily basis. We organized food pantry, home food delivery, which was, we were able to serve for over 300 homebound seniors and disabled, which is like for us, I operate food pantry, which serves 800 families on a monthly basis. But for me, 300 doesn't sound like a lot, but we had to pack the packages and we had to deliver them to their houses. So this was a pretty big operation, and it's really tough here, but we're hanging on. So there's no programming for special needs kids, unfortunately, which we also have, because we have mostly kids with severe learning disabilities and autistic kids who are not that well in, and we tried to do something online, but it didn't work. So we're just waiting for us to reopen, hopefully, and have our stuff back. most of our staff was furloughed, so, and the rest of us took significant pay cut.
Wow.
While full-time working from our houses.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us, Laura. Leah, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, from Jewish Family Service of Colorado. I just wanted to add on to what you were saying about job coaching. We're doing all remote job coaching right now. Most of our clients do not have a computer or internet, so a lot of it has been by phone. But we've kind of focused for people that have been furloughed or laid off on helping them advance in their roles. So job coaching through that outlet. So helping figure out, you know, here's another task I want to learn, like how do we get your customer service skills to meet your employer's needs once they're able to, you know, welcome you back. So that's kind of what we've been looking at. So it's forced us to get creative with how we deliver that type of coaching. But clients have seemed to enjoy it so far, and it's nice to have a positive goal in mind, I think, for them too.
Nice. I like to hear about the creativity. That's great. Great. And Deb from JVS Detroit's raised her hand. Where are you, Deb?
I'm right here. So we're actually in somewhat of a similar situation as Laura. We're in Detroit and we're pretty much all locked down also. We have a number of different services. So we have some federal contracts through Source America, some janitorial contracts and mailroom contracts. Those contracts are still going on with the people that we support and job coaches. But the majority of our contracts and our job coaching is not going on. So we have three federal contracts that are still going on, but the other 95% of our job coaching is not going on. We also have a non-vocational skill building program, essentially a day program. So that program has been shut since March 13th. And we have been trying to reach out to folks, you know, a lot, what everybody else is saying, through Zoom and FaceTime. The state and the county have relaxed some of the HIPAA regulations. So they've allowed us to use different platforms that might not be totally compliant. So that's been helpful. And actually our county has said that they will purchase tablets for residential homes so that the people living in them can have access to that kind of face-to-face interaction. And so we have some kind of new billing codes for telehealth in a lot of different departments and areas. We're trying to figure out how to make telehealth work with skill building. They're saying they'll pay us for it, but we haven't figured out how to make it work yet. And most of our, probably 90 to 95% of our staff is also furloughed because we don't have that direct one-to-one.
Wow.
So we also do job coaching or career counseling and financial ed. So those programs are working remotely. And everything this is not this affinity group, but we also have a day program for people living with dementia. We're working really hard to keep those folks engaged through Zoom and Facebook and music and exercise, because, you know, social isolation is, I don't have to finish the sentence, you're all shaking your head. You all know, just as bad, so.
Yeah, great, well, thank you. Hey, one question, where's the raise the hand feature?
Oh, if you go to the, at the bottom where it says participants.
Yep.
And you click on that, you can raise your hand there.
Mine just says manage participants. Is that? Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. I've learned something new. Thank you. Let's see. Someone else just raised their hand. Is it you, Sue, from Boston?
Yeah. Hi, Sue from Jewish Family and Children's Service in Greater Boston. We are a very large social service organization, so disabilities is just one piece of that. But we started doing remote working probably the second week of March. Day programs, the last day that our community-based day program was open was on the 13th as well, similarly. We also have 24/7 residential homes, so those were needing to staff all the time. Knock on wood, luckily we have not had a positive case, but we have a lot of different plans to help prevent that, as well as if we do a positive case, there have been a number of cases in Massachusetts in group homes, about over 500. There have been 18 deaths as well. So we consider ourselves very, very lucky that we have not had to deal with that yet. Also have had pretty much the things that are running our case clinical case management program and coaching autism coaching program has moved to virtual. Our employment services, we had a couple people still working in critical roles, and a lot, like other people said, stepped down voluntarily before. We had a lot of people who worked in school systems and in college and universities. So campuses are shut down, schools are shut down as well. So they were kind of put on pause. We're still working with people remotely over Zoom. We have a couple HIPAA compliant Zoom platforms and accounts that we've been using in all throughout the agency, but to meet with individuals to both work on skill building, some people who are in the job development process, still working with them on researching and looking at different jobs for the future. We're still setting up meetings and meeting with potential employers to talk about kind of that initial first meeting. We met with our business advisory committee last week, and they gave us a lot of great ideas on things to keep in mind when trying to poke the employers to see, are those positions still available once this is over, and can they get back to work, and what that will look like, and when. And luckily not many of our employers are small kind of mom and pop shops, so there should be work. You know, we're not worried that many will go under. Our day programming, week three of shutdown, we started virtual programming, and for the first 2 weeks we did three times a day, and now we're up to four times a day. Each session is an hour. We get anywhere between 30 and 40 participants, which is almost half total. Lots of different options and opportunities. So that's actually, it was a shot in the dark. We said, let's try it out, see how it goes. The individuals love it. It's for the staff. It's been a real kind of uplift for everybody, as well as just an opportunity to put a lot of structure into individuals' days. We've also offered it to our residential houses who were not in our day programs, just so that everybody can really kind of get a little bit more structure. People have been doing well with the technology, amazingly enough. A lot of parents had said, the person's now logging on their own and getting in, and they know how to raise their hand and all that. But it's actually been going a lot better than we thought it would. So that's been
good. Nice news to share. Thank you. Good. And Rebecca, you're raising your hand. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Good. So I'm the manager of community inclusion for the Jewish Federation of Greater Metro West, and I coordinate 11 of our partner agencies that serve individuals with disabilities and their families, including our JFS agencies, JVS, two residential programs, our JCCs, Friendship Circle. So we've been doing a lot of what you guys have already said, a lot of virtual programming that's continued. Our day programs and our JVS in-person on-site programs have been closed for, in New Jersey, I think we're 5.5 weeks now that we've been shut down. But there's been a lot of virtual instruction that's been going on, even for participants from our day programs to be able to still have the opportunity to come together during the day for different sessions, whether it's a yoga session or a Spanish lesson or, you know, and our JBS counselors are still doing some online work with their clients, although most of it is really more mental health, mental wellness touch bases as opposed to real vocational counseling at the moment. And our two residential programs continue to serve people residentially. Right. You know, I think some of our greatest challenges now are, you know, providing consistent staffing in our residences. You know, as people are concerned about whether they've been exposed or not, and they kind of take a step back and self-quarantine for a little bit, you know, ensuring that we're able to maintain that staff. And, you know, the funding questions that we get from state and federal government as to how things will or won't be continued to be funded. But, you know, I'm excited that this week we've started to do a little bit more of that planning forward. Like, you see that light at the end of the tunnel. Good. And starting to really work with our agencies a little bit more. You know, what are we going to anticipate as needs? And certainly the mental health component is coming through loud and clear. From a staff perspective, from a parent perspective, from a member perspective in the programs as to how we're going to be able to best meet some of those needs. You know, even with regard to our clergy and educators and how we can best support them as we start to come out of this little hole that we're in.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Thank you. Barbara, where are you? Your hand is raised. There you are. Hello.
Right here. I'm Barbara Abrams from the JFCS of Southern New Jersey. And I appreciate being on this call. Nice to meet all of you. And we've been doing a lot of the same things that, that you know, most of you have been saying. You know, so just to highlight something that we started a couple of weeks ago, which was new for us. We're a supported employment agency, and we, you know, we recognize that about a third of our clients actually were still working, which were about 30 of the 100 some odd clients that we serve in our supported employment program. And working in food service mostly or warehouses, we were doing off-site long-term follow-along support with them. So we had the idea of forming a Zoom job club with them. Mm-hmm. And so we invited them all to a Zoom job club, really to help support them while they're at the job, because they're dealing now with, you know, a whole new world. They're dealing with precautions. They're dealing with going out when most of the world is still sheltered in, and a lot of the anxiety and feelings about that. So, and it's gone really well. This will be our third one tonight. We're doing it. And I think they really appreciate it. They learn from each other. And it's just been an opportunity for them to recognize, you know, we're not the only ones out there currently working, you know, as so many people are home. And we're really emphasizing with them how to advocate for themselves if they're not getting gloves or masks at the work site, you know, what that sounds like. And to just make sure they're really being safe in doing that. So we started that, and then we thought, well, you know, we have all these people who aren't working, you know, and are dealing with the apprehensiveness. So we're going to start this week. We haven't done it yet, but we're calling it the at-home job club, which is going to be for those who aren't working, you know, who are actually at home. And again, through the Zoom technology, bringing them all together and seeing how they're making best use of their time, how they're dealing with the stress, and then hopefully to start preparing them for when they will get called back, because most of them have been furloughed and not let go. So that's, you know, just thought something I'd share as a new idea that we had. I'm interested in, like, just hearing a little more from Sue in Boston, because we too have a day program and we've been doing a lot of activities and really have felt that the structure of them have been the best. So we've sent out every week, we send out like a calendar of what the activities are going to look like for the week. But we're not at 4 hours a day. We're kind of more like at 2 hours a day in terms of day programming. And I'm just curious in terms of some of the specifics that you're doing that actually comprise what that day kind of looks like.
So can you unmute? Is that?
Yeah. So similarly, when we were first talking about starting some virtual day programming, this
the admin staff and the managers were saying, do we want to even try an hour at a full, you know, a full hour? Should we try half an hour? Our staff find that they don't get through the majority of the things that they were going to do. We started at 9:11 and, or no, sorry, 9:01 and 3 p.m. And that was also scheduled around. There was another group that some of our participants are part of a social rec program. They had some staggered times in between then. So we wanted to try to, again, expand it so that people could have the most full days and that we weren't kind of running competing programming things at the same time, although theirs are a bit different. But we'll do everything, anything that we would run in-house in our morning or afternoon groups, from art, culture, music, dance. They did scavenger hunts, foreign language, writing groups, math groups, social skills, Friends 101, women's and men's groups, all those just kind of things that we would do anyway, tweaked a little bit into a Zoom platform. Trivia is a big one that people love to do, and all different types of science. So we've kind of taken what we know about our participants and what groups that they like to do in person, and to really try to vary it as well, structuring the day so that there are some opportunities, if not kind of every other, that are more movement based versus talking, listening based, which has also helped to and gather different people for different groups that we would assume would join anyway. But then we added the fourth when we, because we were in the same situation of, are we going to have to furlough the actual day program staff, that we started with just the administrative team running the groups. And then once we applied for the PPP, we were able to kind of open it back up to have staff doing more work from home and finding more opportunities for them to do that. So we thought, well, we might as well add a fourth group in if we're going to have interest for our program coordinator level staff to run them. And we always have two. So we have the leader and then we have an admin backup kind of managing more the unmute, lowering hands, raising hands, those types of things, so that the one staff can just really focus on the content.
Yeah. If I could just share our experience, we found we do some things on Zoom, but we found FaceTime Live actually a more effective platform for us to do the Zumba class and to do yoga works on Zoom, but line dancing and fitness, you know, Facebook Live was a better format from the feedback that I've gotten from my staff. But, you know, and the other thing we started was a Facebook page, a closed Facebook page, and constantly, you know, the clients are posting, you know, the staff is always posting with ideas, activities, you know, links to things. So that's something that has just continually kept them engaged as well.
Nice. Maybe I can jump in here because Barbara, similar to you, and again, I'm Stacy and I'm at Jewish Family Children's Service of Minneapolis. So I have a group of folks that we have events with, and we remove barriers that would allow them to celebrate being Jewish. So we have about 7 or 8 events that we do, and right before our Caring Connection Sing-Along Seder, which is an annual event that we usually get about 120 people at, we obviously had to close, and people were so upset. We had a lot of participants that called up crying and begging, please don't close it. It's the only way my family celebrates Pesach, and we want to be able to, you know, come. And it was really a lot of upset. So I was looking for ways to also connect with them. And a lot of folks were having problems, you know, figuring out the Zoom. So I too went on and did a Caring Connections closed Facebook group. And then I reached out to about 100 participants, including their families. Lots of folks live in group homes and they're sometimes the only Jewish member that is in their group home. So I did invitations and emails and phone calls for about a week leading up to, we actually had a virtual sing-along Seder as a live Facebook event. And we hired our Seder leader who led for us, that did such an amazing job. And I'm not sure exactly how many folks jumped on because we first structured the Facebook group as a closed Facebook page, or I think a hidden one. People were having problems accessing it, so we made it not closed, so you could go on and not have to tell me that you were there. But we had the Seder was 45 minutes, and we had 157 comments between participants that were so thankful. We would throw out questions. What's your favorite food to eat at Seder? How many people did a Zoom Seder? So it was like so interactive. Everyone was typing. And it was almost like the participants were there. I mean, Laura would say, hey, is that you, Tina? I haven't seen you. How are you doing? So it was so interactive and so wonderful that now we have a Caring Connections. We're going to do a Shabbat songs and then light the candles on a Friday night. We're going to do a Havdalah service, and then we're going to do a campfire sing-along for our participants. And so it's really been a great way to, you know, help with people being able to connect. I'm still able to provide a sense of community, even though we're not doing it in person. And the other thing that I do with my job is I do a lot of home visits. So I'm also able to go on to Facebook Messenger now, and I don't have to personally be friends with them, but I'm able to call them through Facebook Messenger, and I've been doing tons of virtual home visits. So I'm really thankful for the technology. It's really worked out. It's really nice for our agency to be able to keep up with folks.
Can anyone speak to what they've been doing as far as connecting services for folks that do not have a computer or internet? I think that's something that we're struggling with because we do phone calls already, but those don't necessarily last extremely long for most people. I've thought about doing like pen pal type things, whether that's with a letter or drawings or whatnot, but that requires a bit of logistical things with mailing for people. Does anyone have ideas?
Well, one thing we are also doing is our volunteer coordinator at Jewish Family Children's Service has gotten volunteers with their kids and families that are making cards for people. So like families are looking to do more maybe creative art projects at home when they're at a break from school. So they are making and decorating, you know, positive cards. And I'm able to get them and send them out to my Caring Connections participants. And we're also sending them to the Jewish senior citizen places and the nursing homes and stuff too. And let's face it, who doesn't like getting a letter that's not a bill, you know? So that's been going really great. And that's something that everyone can do. Just have volunteers. Hey, sit down with your kids and make a card and we'll send it out and cheer somebody up.
Hey, Stacy, we have a few hand raised.
Thank you.
Zippy, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, but you've had your hand raised for a while. So go ahead.
Hi everyone. That was fine, Sippy. I'm from Ruth and Norman Rails Jewish Family Services in Boca Raton, Florida. So we right when this happened, we transferred all our support groups. We have a parent support group and grandparent support group to virtual, and it's really they've been a huge success. We're doing we're now doing two parent groups, one during the day and one in the evening. We're doing grandparent group once a week when we used to do it once every other week because they want it, and we have so many more participants because everyone's home. So we've had up to 12 grandparents at a time and 10 parents, which, you know, is hard to do when it's face to face because everyone's running around doing things, and the support that everyone's giving is really, really amazing. And we're still working, you know, I work in the outreach department, so we're still doing financial assistance and food pantry referrals, and we're just doing it all virtually from our home. So the agency's made forms to do online, so we don't have to go in the office to process things. And we've streamlined the process. So instead of asking for 3 months of bank statements, we just need 1 month. They just have to show proof that it's related to COVID. We have like special funds set aside for that. And it's been going smoothly. And we also kind of took over for our telephone reassurance program to seniors. because we couldn't have the volunteers couldn't get in. So I'm calling 5 or 6 seniors every day and checking in on them, and they really relish the calls. One of them is very advanced. Like she does FaceTime and Zoom, and she's like, I'm so blessed I'm able to do it. Whereas my other ones don't, like they're, you know, one can't see well, so she doesn't have a computer. So it's, we have also a shop and save program that we just started at the agency to help with the shopping also. So it's, you know, everyone's pulling and doing whatever they can, but it's rewarding. You know, everyone really appreciates it and helps each other out.
Yes. Thanks, Sippy. And Jennifer.
Hi, I'm with JFS LA with our central access and special needs. You know, JFS LA is big, and so different programs are managing this differently. Everyone who doesn't need to be in the office, like our food pantry people, and we still have home delivered meals, but everyone who can is remote, which is most of our staff. In terms of special needs, Sarah's on the call too, who works with our Hummer Cause program for families. And then we have a small socialization program. So it's a staff person and a half. We have an annual, someone was mentioning in Seder, we have an annual Seder that's very well attended. And then we also have weekly, we have between 6 and 8 activities a month. And a Tuesday night is a standard. So pretty quickly we were able to get up and running with Skype for Business, which is our internal platform, but that was difficult because you can't see everybody. So we were able to get Zoom. There were some concerns, but we have it for certain programs. So we've had a sing-along was the first one. We did the Seder. Someone mentioned, I think Stacy, maybe like the members are all excited and saying hi to each other. And
yeah.
So it's still continuing with what is a community that has been seeing each other. We do have some members where we've had to call them to have them on the phone. Technology is a challenge somewhat. Most can do it with their phones. We're working on that. And then, you know, Sarah will be reaching out. We have the regional centers here, which I don't think that's something anywhere else in the country, which is support for people with developmental issues from, you know, birth, depending till their whole life. And so we're reaching out because obviously whatever job programs, mostly people aren't going to, trying to reach out, see if there's anything we can do to help to reconnect people. So that's what we're doing in the special needs arena.
Great. Nice. Who else? Who else has? Jamie, what are you folks working on?
So one of our larger programs is that we employ adults with disabilities here at our agency. They create products that we then sell to help sustain the program. And so what we've been able to do is bring the work to them at home. So we've created boxes and we've put the work for them. Like they make hand rolled beeswax candles for Shabbat and Hanukkah. We have a few partners in the community where they put together bakery boxes for some kosher bakeries, and we do some other things like that. So we've been able to put all those things in a big box and deliver it to their doorstep without having any interaction. So it's all very safe. And then they work on it, and then we are able to pick it back up and deliver a fresh box every week. We also are including in there, because we do a lot of art, as you can see the beautiful artwork behind me, we do a lot of art, so our art director has put in some art challenges for them, and so we've made sure that we've included supplies, whatever they needed for her art challenges, and if they send it back, and then they are, if they win the challenge, they are up on our social media and on our website, so it's a big thing to win the art challenge. We have also, as many of you have talked about, are doing, we do chair aerobics with them. So we've been doing chair aerobics through Facebook live stream with them. And then we take that link and send it through the website just in case, through email, just in case somebody doesn't have Facebook access. We also, I don't know if any of you are familiar with News to You, but it's a website that gives you kind of current events in a pretty simple format, and also gives you pictures to go with the words for those who are non-readers or struggle with reading. So I've been printing out a lot of News to You articles to keep them informed on current events, and it gives them some worksheets that go along with it. So it kind of gives them things to do, keep them busy. And of course, we've been doing some Zoom calls with parents and caregivers, and my staff reaches out to the participants on a weekly basis through video calls or phone calls. So everyone is getting what we call touches almost every day, and they're getting work, so they're still getting paid, which was very, very important to them and to us, that they're still able to earn a paycheck and that they're still doing meaningful work and not just busy work or things to do, but they're actually doing stuff that's important to us, because we're still getting orders, thankfully, that people are still ordering our products. So the process is still up and running. So it's been working, and I'm grateful that that's been happening. But I've gotten some good ideas for you. We do have some other programs. Like, I love that Zoom trivia night. So I think we might be doing something like that. We do have a social group that hasn't been able to meet, obviously. And so maybe we might try to do a Zoom trivia night for our social group. So I love all of the, I think Thomas mentioned, you know, that there's been some positive things that has come out of this, and he kind of felt guilty about that. But I love the fact that we've all been kind of pushed to do some of a outside of the box thinking, and there is some good stuff that comes out of this. And that's not a terrible thing. It makes us kind of break out of the norm and makes us think differently, and maybe it's reaching somebody in a way that we hadn't thought about reaching before, and it's working. So I'm really listening to all of you. I feel inspired, and I feel pride that you are my coworkers and that I'm a part of this group, because you all are really making it happen and making sure that, you know, the people that we work for and with are making sure their needs are being met and that they're not being left behind or forgotten. So thank you for all of your hard work that you guys are doing. I really appreciate it.
Agreed. Here, this is something I learned. I learned today how to clap. So clap and thumbs up to everybody.
Yes. is there anyone who hasn't talked who wants to share? I'm not going to make anyone talk who doesn't feel comfortable, but I do feel like, hey, Tammy, I've been looking at you.
Am I unmuted now?
Yes.
Okay, please excuse the extra fluffy look. I work for Alpert Jewish Family Service down in West Palm, a few towns over from CP, and run a program called Life Planning. I'm a social worker, so I work with the clients one-on-one, as well as put on an educational series of workshops free to anyone in the community. So it's been very interesting having to transition from doing the workshops live in person, having folks come into our agency or to the JCC and meet the speakers on the spot, to doing it virtually. But one bonus is that all this time, I've always had New Yorkers and New Jersey folks calling me saying, you know, our son or daughter are down in Florida and we can't attend, but we really want to hear what your workshops are about. And now we're able to accommodate them. So that's been really nice, knowing that we're not only influencing the local folks, but also their relatives who might live in the tri-state area with their family members down here in Florida. So I'm not sure how that will come into play in the future. Like, maybe we'll have some sort of a hybrid program. We'll do some workshops live and some virtual. I always thought it was so much nicer to meet folks personally, because they linger after the program and they talk to the other parents and siblings, and, you know, they get resources and kind of feel their own little support group meeting in person. So now that's a little bit different with it being virtual. But it's also introduced some new topics that we never thought would be warranted for a workshop. For example, we always had like a legal planning workshop or a financial planning workshop, and we touched a little bit about the ABLE account. This week we had more than 50 people come online just to learn about the ABLE account. Wow. I feel like there are smaller topics that might not have warranted a full 2 hours of coming out of the house that you can do online for a virtual workshop in 1 hour and really get a good benefit from that. So that's been one of the perks in changing over.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Someone else had their hand up. I can't remember. Lillian.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me, everyone? Yeah. I just want to be in agreement with Jamie. I think she's absolutely right. This is absolutely wonderful to work among people in this profession. You can tell the experience and the compassion that everyone has. And I have a sense of pride being in this field for over 20 years and originally from New York. So I've been in the field for a long time, but this is just a sense of being able to collaborate the knowledge and to learn new things that we can do with the individuals. So thank you all. I really appreciate that. What I just wanted to close off with is, you know, coming from the residential side of it too, I've been really working on making sure that we can continue to provide the services that we have, but ensuring that the staff have face masks. And because they're changing every day, every shift, right? I love that, Jamie, I love it. We have... we're trying to find new ways of getting face masks because, you know, we have the doctors, the nurses that are using them as well. But we're making sure that those supplies are in the home for the staff to feel comfortable working with the individuals in the home. So that's just something that I just kind of ponder over. And I'm noticing that a lot of people are using the homemade face mask. And something that I'm probably going to consider and trying to find ways of obtaining the homemade face mask if we tend to run out of the traditional face masks that are used in the home to care with the individuals. Otherwise, we've been really, really fortunate where we have had no one jump ship on us on the residential side of it. The managers are there, they're wearing the mask, they're educating the individuals as to why they're wearing the mask, and even promote when they're just going for walks in the neighborhood to have the individuals wear the face mask as well to ensure that we're being safe in the community. Thank you, everyone.
Good. Thanks, Lillian.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer.
Well, I just want to be respectful of everyone's time. It's been an hour. When Stacey and I were talking before, we're like, I don't know if anyone's going to join. I don't know if anyone's going to have the energy to want to talk. And so we're grateful that you've spent the time with us and that you've shared your experience. I've been taking notes. Like I said, I really, I've personally found it helpful. So I hope that you guys have as well. If you have any comments or topics that you'd like to talk about or need any more information, please let just email Lisa Lorraine. She had a family emergency, that's why she couldn't join us on this call. But if you email her, Stacey and I will get that information. We'll make sure that the next Zoom call, we'll make sure that we address whatever you would like to talk about. So unless somebody else has something to add, we thank you. Stay safe, be healthy, wash your hands, and we hope to see you again in a couple of months, okay?
Great, thank you.
Thanks everyone, this has been empowering and enlightening. Can't wait to see you all again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.